I can't look at the rocket launch, trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, cause I like birds.
590 WKZO, a good Saturday morning, and welcome to Bird Watch, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Floral Garden, and Bird Center at the corner of 12th and Millam Road, and of course by the River Lake Inn. Joining us in the studio this morning, Roger Taylor.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Cold.
It is a little chilly out there. Snow, when I just before I sat down here in the chair, I took a peek outside. And
yeah.
I noticed you were mentioning the lake effect snow advisory that goes in effect here this morning along the lake shore.
Yeah. West of U.S. 131. That's my new favorite phrase.
West of 131?
Yeah, we'll hear that now till April.
Oh, okay.
And west of U.S. 131 will be in our weather forecast a lot. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Sarah Redding, and she is involved in the Breeding Bird Survey, one of the important ways we keep track of bird populations and look for trends, and we'll talk to Sarah about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. The reason we're delaying Sarah is to do our trivia question.
Oh, yes, got to do that.
And the trivia questions prizes are, there are many prizes. This is a, you know, you've seen the shirts, I'm a big deal. Well, this is a big deal.
This is.
The trivia question is a big deal. Because you get a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend from Waddell's.
Check.
You get a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn.
Check.
And you get a 2014 Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy calendar.
Check.
All of those things are yours if you can tell us, do any small species ever hitchhike on the backs of larger birds? Do smaller birds ever hitchhike on the back of larger birds? And if you call 382-4280, 877-382-4280, you can win yourself that booty of prizes that we talked to you about.
Okay.
382-4280, 877-382-4280.
All right, and the first person to give it a try this morning in from Kalamazoo, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Roger. Thank you.
Well, do we are there any small birds that hitchhike on the back of larger birds?
No hitchhikers.
I'm sorry, but that's not correct.
Thank you for the project.
You bet. Have a good one.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the try,
now,
Bob.
I'm just guessing, but the next caller will get it right.
All right. Let's see if Ronald has it. He's calling in from Plainwell this morning.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Roger?
I'm good. Do smaller birds ever hitchhike on the back of larger birds?
Yes, they do, and I cannot tell you which birds that would be.
Okay. It was a yes or no question, and so by saying yes, you get it right. This is really sort of a tricky question because there's this myth that hummingbirds migrate on the back of geese, and that's not true. And none of the hitchhiking takes place while in flight, but there are a number of species of bird who the juveniles ride on the backs of the parents. And loons would be the best example, but grebes and a number of other ducks climb on the backs of parents and are transported about in that manner.
Oh, okay.
And so it was a trick question. I was having fun. But you got it right, and so you get a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend from our friends at Waddell's. You get a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn, where if you take a friend with you, your meal is half price. And you get a 2014 Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy calendar, truly a work of art. Each month has a rendition of a plein air group artist's interpretation of a Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy preserve. And so all that stuff is yours for saying yes.
Well, that's nice. That was easy enough.
And hold on, Ronald, and we're going to send you back into Matt. He'll need some information, and then dinner for you and the birds and a beautiful calendar are all yours.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too. Stay warm, Ronald.
Yes, I will.
And there, we got that out of the way. Let's talk with Sarah Redding now.
Okay.
Sarah, how you doing this morning?
Great. How are you, Roger?
I'm fat and sassy. Let's talk about the Breeding Bird Survey and why the Breeding Bird Atlas is an important piece of information for people who care about birds.
Okay. Well, as many people may know, we published the first atlas, which was work done in 1983 to 1988. That was in a book form, and then we came out in 2010 with the second Breeding Bird Atlas for the state, which was started in 2002 and collected data for till 2008. And what that really does for us is not only shows us the trends of what's happening and where birds are breeding in the state, and now we're able to compare it with our first set of data, which was in the early the late 80s. In that time period, and then also with currently what's happening today.
And tell us what new pieces of information were noted with that comparison.
Sure. In the book that we've recently just published in the limited edition, as well as it's found on our web, there's a website for it as well that you can look at comparative maps. That's probably the easiest way to, to look at some of these and say, oh, boy, I can see a dramatic change. Things like the nighthawk and some of those in that family, we've seen a decline in those in terms of breeding in the state. Grassland birds, which a lot of us know are having, are not doing as well because we have, less grasslands for them to breed in. So that would be another group of species that you would see some changes in.
Sarah, those are changes not peculiar to Michigan. Did you note anything that made Michigan stand out from the rest of the country?
I'm trying to think through that a little bit, Roger, and I don't think of anything like specific, but I guess I'd have to, there's hundreds of species and there's a few birds that joined the maps that we had maybe very few records for. But I think, overall, there's a lot of that are trends that we're seeing all over the Great Lakes.
Yeah. The new birds that were reported, related to climate change, are they southern birds whose range is expanding northward? Give us a view of that.
It could be that. Some of it can be just that we, had more coverage in that area, but there's a few of them. It's hard to say, that it is climate change because, we don't know really have enough. But you're right. There's a lot of that that's happening, and so that makes it a little bit, maybe if we do the third one, which I'm not sure when that'll be, but, if you did the third one, you'd start to see even more of that. It's really difficult at this point. That is happening. The hummingbird we're seeing coming farther north, does that mean that it's become much more abundant in southern Michigan? Does that have to do with feeders? Does it have to do with climate change, you know, we're just not sure. And so it actually what this does is just gives you more questions to answer.
Oh, yeah. Well, and bird populations are dynamic. Prior to the late 1930s, we didn't see cardinals in Michigan.
Exactly.
And they're a bird whose range without anything to do with climate change is expanded. And blue jays range has been expanding for years. And that has nothing to do with climate change. It started long before climate change was a part of our vocabulary.
Right, exactly.
Who uses the Breeding Bird Atlas the most? Who's the target audience for that publication?
Well, it's designed so that there's information there to make good land and conservation, you know, decisions. So a lot of it is, you know, the professionals who would look at it for their particular area, getting the detailed data and helping them to look at their sites to be able to better manage them. But it's also a book for just the general public that wants to know about specific species. So they see a bird, they want to know a little bit more about it. Where is its range? Where does it breed in Michigan? They can go and get that information, and they can look at comparatively what we saw early on and now what we've seen, you know, in this last recent atlas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination. It has, you know, all the plates. Each of the birds is given has a species account, talks all about the species from, you know, breeding to what, you know, where would you find it, and then the conservation aspect, and then they each have a map that shows both the last atlas and the current atlas, where they were confirmed or possibly seen breeding,
mm-hmm.
and that's explained in that. So it's a combination probably for conservation. That's the biggest thing that helps us with, you know, looking at land management, some of that.
Sure. Kalamazoo area is lucky to have one of the best nature centers in the country, always in the top rated. How many other breeding bird atlases are done for reference across the country? Do you have any idea?
I know in the Great Lakes there's probably, I think it's 4 or 5 that have been done. Ours is, we're one of the first to do the second one. I know Ohio's in the process of doing their second Breeding Bird Atlas, and they're, you know, I think they're pretty well into it. Wisconsin is getting ready to start one. So there's not many states that have two, and there's other ones around the, but in the Great Lakes, that's probably the number. Ontario, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. And if you're looking for a Christmas present for a birder that you wonder, boy, will they have this, or will they get more than one during Christmas? I think the Breeding Bird Atlas would be a gift that is unlikely to be duplicated.
I agree.
And would make a great Christmas present if my wife's listening. Honey, hint, hint. Where would people go to get a Breeding Bird Atlas, either for themselves or for somebody they care a lot about?
Sure. Well, they can come to the Nature Center. We do sell them right there at the center. Also, they can go to our e-shop, which is through our website, which is www.naturecenter.org, and they can order one online that way and have it shipped to whoever they'd like it to be shipped to.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two ways that you can get a copy of the atlas.
And
beautiful colored book, you know, it has color plates, color photographs, hardback book. So.
Yeah. And make a great Christmas gift. Why don't you give the website one more time for people who driving to the Nature Center is not convenient?
Sure. It's www.naturecenter.org. So it's on our e-store.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling in and chatting with us about it this morning.
Well, thanks for inviting us, Roger. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, Sarah.
Hope you get one for Christmas.
I'm got my fingers crossed.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're invited to River Lake Inn's legendary Thanksgiving buffet. Trust me, folks, I've been there. It is a legend. And the traditional holiday feast to delight and suit every member of your family. Enjoy fresh carved roast turkey. The key word there is fresh. I had never had fresh turkey until going to the River Lake Inn. And fresh turkey is different than your frozen turkey. Mm-hmm. The freezing process changes things. And if you've never had a turkey that has never been frozen, you need to go to the River Lake Inn.
Okay.
You can get homemade mashed potatoes with real turkey gravy, savory sage dressing, traditional green bean casserole, plus honey chipotle, barbecue meatballs, Asian glazed pork loin, black Angus, beef round, crunchy shrimp, Atlantic cod, apple blossom glazed ham, amaretto candied yams, rosemary roasted Yukon potatoes, and of course their salad bar in an array of homemade muffins and fresh baked rolls. For your favorite cocktails will also be available. The Thanksgiving buffet is only $17.95. Children from 3 to 10 are half price. Children under 3 are free. Be sure to make your reservation soon. This special day fills quickly. For reservations, give them a call, 269-432-2626 or 269-968-4731. Walk-ins are welcome after 3 in the afternoon. And be sure to book your holiday party while you're on the phone with them. Again, their number, 269-432-2626.
Outdoor cats risk injury, disease, or getting hit by cars, and millions of small birds and other animals are killed each year by outdoor cats. Your outdoor cat can find plenty of entertainment indoors. For more information and a teacher's guide, see American Bird Conservancy's website at www.abcbirds.org. Make the world a safer place for cats and birds. Keep your cat indoors.
If you haven't looked outside, I hate to break the news to you, but winter weather is here, and it's going to be here for a while. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center has all of your winter weather needs. This week, save 20% on your choice of winter gloves, including several styles of Carhartt extra warm gloves. It's also time to cover your roses and other tender plants. Large rose cones are on sale for just $4.88, or get the large cone with removable lids, now on sale for just $6.98. If your plants are bigger, Waddell's has both sizes of burlap on sale this week, too. For insulation around your home or your pet's home, Waddell's has straw bales for just $5.77. Don't forget to protect your plants from damaging rabbits and deer. Spray plants now with Repellex 100% natural critter repellent. All sizes of Repellex concentrate and ready to use are on sale this week. Protect your lawn from mold damage over the winter by applying Repellex for molds. It comes in both a spray and an easy-to-use granular formulation. And after being out in the cold, there's nothing better than a warm fire. Get a whole rack of firewood, an approximate trunkful, for just $28.99, and you'll find your winter weather needs at Waddell's on Texas Drive at the corner of Milam and 12th Street.
590 WKZO, as the time is quickly going by on us, but we do have time to squeak in a quick question from Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Oh, good, Roger. How are you?
Fat and sassy.
Anyways, I was going to ask you, my grandma used to walk out in the woods a lot, and she would collect little bird nests around Christmas time, put them in the Christmas tree, and I wondered if that was a good practice or a bad practice. Do they ever reuse nests?
No, but I have to tell you that technically that's a violation of the law.
Really?
Yes.
Well, this was many, many years ago.
The law makes no distinction as to season of the year. And so to protect birds in breeding season, it is technically illegal to possess a bird's nest. Are you going to find Fish and Wildlife Service agents breaking down your front door? Probably not. But technically, to be in possession of a bird's nest is not legal. But sure does add something to a Christmas tree. And as long as you use nests in the wintertime, no harm comes to birds.
Okay. And one other quick question. We were in the Upper Peninsula recently, and there were flocks of these birds that looked like sparrows along the road that would take flight whenever we drove through, and they about sparrow size, and they were white underneath. Do you know what they were? We didn't have a birding book.
Yeah, junco. Junco in large groups moving south. Junco are actually the most common bird in North America. There are more juncos than any other species of bird, and they're looking for grit along the roads, and that's why you saw them there.
I remember you saying about the junco. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you. You have a good one, too. Stay warm, everybody. Have yourself a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Right, thank you very much, Roger. 590 WKZO. Of course, Birdwatch each and every Saturday morning in the first half of the 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Waddell's Floral Garden and Bird Center and by the River Lake Inn. Check a local news update with the WKZO.com newsroom. And Greg Crawford of Crawford Brothers Shimano is around the home coming up next on 590 WKZO. Weather-wise, mostly cloudy today and tonight, snow showers. Today's high 27, tonight's low 16. Also, you have to add in the wind chill, as a matter of fact, for that. And clouds and some sun tomorrow. A couple of flurries remaining cold with a high of 26. 28 right now in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. It's 831.